Rich Lieberman, 2:07, 7 minutes past the hour, on a gorgeous day on the Pacific Coast. Those of you listening locally and over the internet, I have very rarely been excited about interviewing as many people as I have interviewed our next guest, because for many years I listened to this guy and very rarely agreed with him, but by golly, he had me. And it was just really refreshing to listen to somebody who had a command of the English language, one, B, or two, that was as versatile and well-rounded about various topics, from words and the English language to politics and to just about anything, sports, you name it. This guy knew it. Better yet, had a way of saying things that at one point had you cursing and screaming and yelling, but at the same point, you listened. And I'm delighted, and I'm actually excited to welcome to the microphones on my program Lee Rogers, formerly of KGO, KSFO, worked everywhere. I recall Miami and Chicago and San Francisco, and I am delighted he is on the show. Lee Rogers, it is great to have you, sir.
When do we get to the screaming and cursing and yelling part, Rich?
Well, you didn't hear me.
Welcome to the world of talk radio. May I ask the first question? May I ask the first question? Now, you've been doing this show for what, 2 or 3 weeks?
Started roughly right after Thanksgiving. And when 12 people were listening, and now we have maybe 15. No, a little more than that. Lee, I've done radio in the past. I just haven't done talk radio. I did a lot of sports reporting and news reporting and worked, you know, when UPI was relevant and around. I was a correspondent for UPI Radio and AP, and I did a few commercials a la Big Vinny for the Round Table Pizza chain, which thanks a lot for helping me gain weight, Round Table. But this is the first time I've ever done talk radio, but I love
what
doing
I
it.
To know,
and,
what I wanted to know, now that you've been doing it for a while, are you yet besieged by love-crazed groupies?
Well, I prefer to call them stalkers. And, yes, my personal life is so bad right now that I have gone to by the way, let's get this out of the way, as long as you're doing the interview. Oh, well, did you send them pictures that were not pictures of you? Oh, my Lord. You said, by the way, I got an email from Lee Rogers today. You sent me an email of the Israeli army, and it happened to be of the female unit or units. And I sent that everywhere, and I omitted your personal email address, and everybody's sending me back, where'd you get this? And, oh, my God, where'd you get? Who are these? Are these real women? I go, not only are they real women and with Uzis and guns, they're damn military officers, for God's sakes. That was a very popular email, sir.
Is that a great-looking recruiting poster or what?
Woo! Oh, baby. Oh, Nelly. Yes.
Driving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And there were all of these female soldiers along the roadway hitchhiking, and they're all carrying machine guns.
Wow!
And I thought, these are women who are not going to be worried about being picked up by some sleazeball who's going to try something with them. They're ready.
Well, you know, few people realize, you do because you've been there, and I have a little bit of knowledge of the fact about the IDF, which, by the way, stands for Israeli Defense Forces, which is the common known word for the Israeli military, that in Israel you are compelled to serve no matter you're male or female or whatever. You turn a certain age, I think it's, what, 17, 18? If you're a female, you have to enlist in the military. There is an ongoing draft.
There's one particular religious sect that is exempt from that. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Arab residents are exempt from that. But overall, the population in general, absolutely, that's true.
How are you feeling, first of all, dear sir?
Pretty good. I'm doing quite well. I'm right now coming off a lingering case of bronchitis. I guess it's pretty much the same sort that had the President Bush number one in the hospital for a long time. But other than that, I'm doing very well indeed.
You sound great, and you sound perfect, and we're going to get right away. Let's just cut to the chase, sir. You
all
left.
Right, I'll put on my radio voice.
Yes, please do.
Yes, thank you.
I look back at some of the stories, and you were told to leave one day at KSFO, which at the time was owned by Citadel a few years ago. And in typical form, we didn't know what the hell happened, and other than just for the record, tell us what happened, and give us the story of what went down, so we know what's going on.
Of course. They put out the usual public relations lie that I had suddenly and without notice resigned, which was absurd on the face of it. But long story short, or as short as I can make it, I had been with ABC in its various ownerships for 25 years, the first 15 at KGO, and I went away because, frankly, I was offered a lot more money to go to Seattle, and a year later I came back when Citadel had bought, the ABC at that time, owned by Disney, had bought KSFO, and they had tried to make it a liberal station, and it had about as much success as the late unlamented Air America. It was a joke. The ratings were awful. Then they went hysterical right-wing, and acquired the nickname Hate Radio, and the ratings were just hideously awful. So they called me, I think mostly in desperation, called me up in Seattle and said, we will give you a lot of money if you will come back. Not being either a fool or unconscionably wealthy already, I said, sure, I'll try it. I didn't know whether it would work or not. A lot of people said, oh, you can't possibly do conservative talk radio in the Bay Area because the area is so liberal. And I'm thinking, I've looked at the numbers after post-election numbers after presidential elections, and about 30% of the nine-county Bay Area had gone Republican. And I'm looking at the media spectrum, and I said to myself, nobody's talking to these people. So if you don't sound like a raving lunatic, there's an audience there for talk radio. So I came back, and I had worked under the original ABC Paramount company that owned American Broadcasting with no problems, and I had worked when Capital Cities owned ABC, no problems. The show went well. Station made money, and I had no problems with Disney per se. And then this outfit called Citadel, which only owned a bunch of small-town radio stations, small markets, mostly FM, and mostly run by automation. So they took one look at these big-city ABC stations in New York and L.A. and San Francisco and Chicago, and I think it scared the hell out of them because they had borrowed tons of money to buy ABC Radio. And everything was going well, range-wise, even with a very limited signal. To this day, you can only hear KSFO at a listenable level in about half of the whole nine-county area that's considered part of the metropolitan area. And you, of course, are at the very south end of that area where KSFO did and does have practically no signal. So considering the limitations, we did extremely well. But Citadel, with this big debt load and big interest payments, started chopping the payroll. And you could see it down the corridor at sister station KGO, and they were laying off people right and left. And I knew my time was coming. Even though we made money, they took one look at my paycheck, and it scared them to death. And so I wasn't surprised. I didn't really care, Rich, because to tell you the truth, after 15 years on KSFO, I was stunned to find myself still working like hell on a program and in a business that I had sworn I was going to kiss goodbye 15 years earlier. My wife and I had already planned to retire when I started the show on KSFO. And I figured, I'll do this for a year or so, pick up another paycheck, and that'll be that. So 15 years later, finally, they say, you've got to go. And the odd thing was, I only had about 4 months left on my contract, at the end of which time I was going to retire anyway. I'd been living in Arizona for 10 years already. Mm-hmm. So I was, and I was getting tired, even though my commute consisted of a walk down the hall to my studio built into my home. I was ready to hang it up because I was still putting in, even though I was only doing 4 days on the air, Tuesday through Friday, the only person in ABC who had a contract like that, by the way. I was still getting
the Johnny Carson hour.
Pretty much like that. Only he eventually got down to three, which I envied very much. But I finally said 70 hours a week is just too much of a drag. I've got to stop this. So they fired me with no notice, and they offered me a buyout. And I said, no, I don't think so, because I had an ironclad contract. If they had let me finish the contract 4 months later, I was going to say bye-bye. They wouldn't have had to pay severance or any of that stuff. But they couldn't wait. Mr. Farid Suleiman, and the name may be a clue to some of my difficulties with that company. But it might be, yes. But anyway, they couldn't wait. So they fired me without notice. I knew they couldn't win. I took them to court. I won, they lost, they paid. End of story. And I wasn't really even upset about it, and I'll tell you the truth, Rich. I don't miss radio at all. I'm astonished because that was a huge part of my whole adult life. But I don't miss it. People said, oh, you won't be able to stand it, you'll come back. I was pitched by the company that syndicates Rush Limbaugh's program and several others about joining them just to do fill-in for Rush and some of their other syndicated shows. And
you know, I get the distinct feeling that it was symmetry at its best. We're going to take our first break talking with Lee Rogers, formerly of KSFO, a very popular Bay Area talk host, and we'll be right back after these messages on the Rich Lieberman Program.
KOMY and the Rich Lieberman Show.
Past the hour, talking with Lee Rogers, formerly of KGO, KSFO. So let's get back to the story. And so you were about to retire. You had 4 months to go. You leave a company that is now, from all accounts, compared to the current company that owns virtually all of radio, save for maybe Clear Channel and Intercom, a company for, by all accounts, is... at the time you were leaving, well, you might say, I could imagine you, sir, having a chit chat with some of the people of the current people. I could just, I love it. I would pay to watch it. Forget Mike Tyson or Ali and Frazier. I'd love to see that. You heard anything about the current company?
Well, it was described by one former colleague in one word: hell. really. By the
so
way,
vague.
If I may anticipate one question about my departure, I said the show was making money, and rational people would say, well, why would they get rid of a guy who's making money for them? This company was so stupid, the Citadel outfit, they assumed that they could get rid of all of these, in their view, overpaid people, but the ratings and the revenue coming in would remain the same. Obviously, it has not happened. The ratings declined drastically. The revenue declined drastically. But if you wonder why anybody would be that stupid, you got to remember this. That company was so stupidly managed, it went bankrupt. And that's how Cumulus got it, the company that owns the old ABC radio stations now. And as you know, because I've read your column, it's a disaster.
Yeah, it's... Lee, and we're talking with Lee Rogers, and you have a question to talk to Lee, and if you want to ask a question, 831-477-1340, because I've got tons of questions. What the hell happened to radio? I mean, I know about consolidation. I know about business. I know about bottom lines and so on and so on and so on. You once worked at KGO. You've worked at a lot of successful radio stations. But I'm going to deal with the time that I know you from, and that's KGO in the mid-90s. And I loved you with Bernie Ward and the fights and the late, great Dwayne Garrett and all of your radio time here in the Bay Area. And I followed you. And although, again, we sort of disagreed on politics, I loved your style. And I think back to a time now, and I know everything changes. You know, the world has changed, technology has changed, and so on and so on. But last I checked, KGO was making you-know-what load of money, as was KSFO, and it was flourishing. And in the end, certain stations began getting less ad money, certainly. Some talk show hosts could have been a little bit long at the tooth. And instead of tweaking and instead of adjusting the format, they went in and took the dog out in the backyard and shot it. And so specifically with regards to KGO, And to some degree KSFO now, because they're owned by the same company. And in general, what the hell happened to the radio business?
If we can talk about the big picture, Rich, I think it all began a slow disintegration back in the mid-90s. It was during the Clinton administration.
The Telecommunications Act.
Exactly. Before that, any one company was limited to owning 7 AM radio stations in the entire nation, 7 FM and 7 TV. And they were more closely monitored by their respective managements because it was a few eggs in a relatively small basket, so they gave it a lot of attention. Radio stations were fiercely competitive. Now you have a few big companies, as you pointed out, that own a virtually unlimited number of stations. They have virtual monopolies in a lot of medium-sized cities and to a considerable extent in big cities. So they're selling their advertising on what they call a Chinese restaurant menu. You want to reach this age group or that demographic group? All right, you buy two stations from column one and one from column B, etc. And they don't even refer to radio stations as stations anymore. They call them platforms. When was the last
time? Well, you know why? They're not radio people, for one.
Exactly. And when was the last time you ever heard anybody refer to KGO or KCBS or KSFO or KFRC or whatever as their favorite platform?
Platform, yeah. I said they're not even radio. They're not even broadcasting people.
No, not at all.
They're bean counters and they're consolidators and they're content whores. And I said that.
Okay.
I said that.
Parameters for discussion here. You're absolutely right. They're not broadcasters. The people that I worked for, even in big companies, had a generally intense personal interest in the standing of their 1 a.m. or 1 FM or 1 TV in their particular hometown. There was simply more interest, and they had to be good or get out because their competitors were also working under the same limits and had the same competitive drive. So I think that was the beginning of a whole slow collapse of radio, and frankly, it has collapsed.
We're talking with Lee Rogers, formerly of KSFO. It's been a couple of years, 2.5 years, roughly, somewhere
coming
around
up
there.
On three. These are the first words I have said on radio since February of 2010.
Yeah. February 2010. Do you, is there anything that you regret in your career that you didn't do or that you wanted to do, or did you pretty much I mean, it sounds like you pretty much were ready to move on. You just said so. But anything in the aspect of broadcasting that you wanted to do, that you didn't do, that you would have liked to have done?
I have or had very few goals that I didn't pretty much attain. I tended to my business, but I had other business interests as well. So for many, many years, I was never totally dependent upon broadcasting for a living. But I think, on the whole, as I evaluate my career, I'm pretty happy with the way things turned out. I worked on legendary radio stations, and I was always a radio guy. I did some TV, but radio was my first love and has been ever since I was a small child, listening to a $10 radio under the covers at night in my room and hearing all of these magic voices coming out of the night sky from all over the country. It's what I wanted to do, and I think I achieved just about everything I wanted to. I got to cover some big-time sports, and I know that's a love of yours. And eventually I did music radio, had a lot of fun, but eventually got bored with it because I didn't think it called upon me personally to do enough, and that's what attracted me about talk radio. It's all on you. And by the way, I wonder, asking you as a relative newcomer to this field, have you had the real talk show host trial by fire yet? And I'll tell you what I mean. I first started doing talk radio in Chicago, which isn't exactly the minor leagues, in the very first week. I was beginning, it was either a 3 or 4 hour talk show, and just before airtime, my first guest, who was supposed to be coming in by air from New York, the plane was grounded in Cleveland, so the first guest is not going to be there. Oh. And then this beautiful studios, great facilities for broadcasting, the entire new phone system died. So not only were the next two guests who were going to be, as I am today, on the program by phone, not only were they not going to be able to participate, people couldn't call into the show. So now I'm looking at 3 or 4 hours of pure me monologue. That's the acid test, and I'll tell you, that's why.
Well, you want to ask, you're asking me the question. Exactly to a T on my second show. I do a broadcast out of a remote setup. And by the way, we're owned by an independent operator, who is, you talk about a rare bird these days, a guy by the name Michael Dworling, who gave me this chance, thank God, and has, well, thanks, Lee. Checks in the mail. There's a D in the Rogers, right? No, but I'm doing my second show, and it's, you know, we had a foul up with the line. The guest is waiting. I'm getting phone messages on my cell phone. In the meantime, trying to set up my call board. All hell broke loose, and I had to talk. But I couldn't talk, and I'm thinking of monologues. My computer's going out. It was as if, it was like I thought it was a Cumulus hit job, by the way, but when you're creative and you know when you're not creative and you carry on, and I kind of kept my calm and said, look, what are you going to do? You're at the mercy of the
test.
Exactly. So yes, it happened, and it still happens. And guess what? We carry on because you know why? We get to get great guests like Lee Rogers, like you. So yes, it did happen, and it's going to happen again, and you know, you just kind of deal with it, because what else
there is that there is that moment of stark terror. I remember saying everything that I knew and then saying it all a second time and then arguing with all of the above until the show was over.
And I used to love call your car another second reference to Johnny Carson. I used to love listening to you and Mel and Officer Vic. And in case you don't know, Officer Vic was the third player in the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
And
great talent.
Does a man that does many voices, a guy by the name of Tom Benner, who does a lot of the voices you hear in commercials, not only in the Bay Area, but beyond. But when you would have some foul up or some guest that was late or this or that, I'd listen to you and you'd be kind of the P word off, and to hear you irritated was damn good radio, funny, creative, control. And also, I may add, I used to love when you had this guy on, who I understand is a monumental ego, but you and the wordsmith guy, the word man, Mr. Letterer.
Yes.
Richard Letterer, and I'm listening, like, when the guy sounded like, tell us a story about that, how you know this guy, and just a brief summary of the word man.
Richard Letterer lives in San Diego, and he has written many books, and did a column, I don't know if he's still doing the column or not, about the use and misuse of the English language. Now, going back to grade school, primary school, I always got terrible grades in English. And I got in the habit of reading Letterer's work and invited him on the program once. He's a terrific guest. He is a very witty guy. One time I was hosting a cruise to Hawaii, a two-week cruise to Hawaii, and I had Richard and his wife as my guests on the cruise so they could entertain the audience. We had, I don't know, a couple hundred people, I guess. And he was hysterically funny. And after that, he became a once-a-month regular on the program. And I still get emails from people asking, how's Dr. Letterer? Would you ask him about this or that word? And I just love him to death.
We are talking with a great guest, and I say great because he is great, and I've always enjoyed this man's work, listened to him many years, and I'm going to talk about that aspect because we're going to go to our second break pretty soon. But before I get to that, and we go to the second break in a few minutes, I asked about your health. How's your wife doing? Everything okay there?
Everything's fine, and so is Calvin the Cockapoo.
It's freezing to death in California. It gets cold. Anytime it gets below 50 or 40 here, but this is not just this part of the state, but up and down the North Coast, the Central Coast, Southern Cal. It's freezing here, and it's suddenly starting to get a little bit warmer. How's the weather in Arizona?
It has been quite chilly. We're usually good for about 3 cold waves per winter, lasting a week or so. It's been below freezing every night this week. It's up close to 70 right now. The sun is shining. And for the next 10 days, the forecast says temperatures in the mid-70s, Arizona sunshine. And, pal, let me tell you, it ain't bad at all.
Life is good. Life is good. Talking with Lee Rogers, formerly of KSFO, enjoying life in retirement in beautiful Arizona. He, of course, the talk show host that you loved listening to, and beyond that, and even if you didn't love listening to him, he was still worth listening to because he had damn good radio. I'm Rich Lieberman. This is KOMY. Here's what I want you to do, Mr. Roger. I want you to think politics because I need to ask you about so many things that I'd love to talk to you about, and we're going to talk Obama. We're going to talk gun control. And just a whole bunch of other things. Washington, gridlock, the whole nine yards. We're going to go to our final break. We'll be right back after these messages on KOMY. Oh, those were the days, man. 2:43, 43 past the hour on the West Coast, listening to KOMY. And I am enjoying my hour with Lee Rogers, broadcaster supreme. Enjoyed his time at KGO. And notably of late, KSFO. I have to ask you this before we go to politics. You were working at KGO in the mid-90s and left there and went across the hall at the time over to KSFO to do the morning show with Melanie, who is back now working with Brian Sussman. Was that a design, something that you had designed? Or was that something that you just were ready for a change, or go back? Because I don't frankly remember the origin of that. Was that a premeditated move and so forth? Explain to us.
I had been on KGO for 10 years, and frankly, I got to the point where I felt I was being taken for granted because Mickey Lockoff, probably the most successful radio station manager for the longest period of anybody in the history of the industry.
Agreed.
Mickey Lockoff was running the place very successfully, but I thought I was being taken for granted, and I got a better offer from the Cairo, K-I-R-O, the big CBS station up in Seattle, so I took it. And I hadn't been there more than a couple of months before I started getting the phone calls from San Francisco, where they were fooling around with KSFO as a liberal station and then a bunch of hysterical nuts on the air. And they said, we want you to come back. What would it take to get you back? And I kept saying, no, no, no. And if you say no long enough and they want you badly long enough, eventually the numbers get big enough and you say, okay, I'll come back and do it. And I thought I was, frankly, just stopping over for a year on my way to Arizona, and I was there for 15 years. By the way, let me pay you a compliment. I think it is possible, even probable, that one of my favorite longtime colleagues on KGO, Jim Eason, is listening to the program today. And I will say that I take, and I think Jim also takes, great pride in our broadcast work during the Loma Prieta earthquake. We were on the air almost nonstop for 3 days together, catching a little sleep now and then on the floor outside the studio. And I think we did some of the best work ever in broadcasting to cover that kind of a disaster. I have a high regard for Jim, did and do.
And, you know, well, then tell Jim to do the damn show. I've done everything but offer him a date with Miss America or Miss Alabama to do the show, and he won't do the damn show. And I'm anyway, Jim, if you're listening right now, it's not that difficult. I'll even throw in a sandwich or something, okay? It's, if Lee could do it,
you could do it. That's the Jim I know and love.
Yeah. But those were the days. And, you know, I grew up in the 70s, Lee, and I – you know, they just played the Carson song, and then going into the break, I said, can you play Thanks for the Memories? Because I feel like I just turned 50, and I feel I might as well be 80 or 90 because the whole world has changed, and radio has changed.
And
just, I miss those days of Hilly Rose, who, thank God, is alive. I thought was dead and is still alive, retired just like you. But Hilly Rose and Lee Rogers and Jim Eason, and even though I have major disagreements with him and had with him, Ron Owens and people like that, you don't have that type of content today. You have a lot of forced and contrived and histrionics that, frankly, are just what they are. I just said forced, and originality and uniqueness has left the vocabulary.
Well, a lot of people did and do still ask me, why did you choose to spend so much of your career, 25 years, on the air in San Francisco, surrounded by liberals who wanted to fight and argue? I said, that's exactly why. Friction makes great radio.
Yeah. So in that sense, I'm guess you're delighted that Obama was reelected?
I wouldn't say delighted, since I'm no longer doing a talk show.
You don't care.
People used to ask me, before Reagan came along, when Reagan got elected, well, what are you conservative talk show hosts going to do now that you have a conservative president? And I'd say, don't worry about us. Politicians are always going to make screw-ups, even if you agree with them generally. They're always going to do something that's going to get a lot of people in their own party ultra-PO'd. We will never run out of material. As long as there are politicians, conservative talk show hosts will do very well. Liberal talk show hosts will talk to their minority audience or go out of business like Air America. I remember San Francisco liberals telling me when Air America came on with a string of ultra-liberal talk show hosts, boy, you guys are going to be out of business now. Air America is going to take over the country. They never made a penny and finally went out of business.
Well, and as I've told friends, and I've written about this, look, I listen to radio religiously. I do other things now, too, in my life, even though I have no life. But Yeah, entertaining. I get castigated. And you've read my column, and you know about this, but I get castigated because I don't know the man personally. We've talked. He's had me on his show a couple of times. But Michael Savage, I know that's not his real name, but Michael Savage entertains me. I think he's hysterical. There's days when he has bad shows. But by and large, I think the man is a genius at some of the work that he does. I don't agree with probably 90% of what he has to say, but politics are the least of his program. And the same thing with you, in a much different platform at the time. As I said today, rarely agreed with you, except on the Middle East. But you had me listening for whatever. I have to ask you this question.
I regard that as a high compliment, by the way, whether it comes from you.
It was, and it should be.
I don't agree with you, but I listen. Fine, thank you very much.
Always.
The oldest accent.
Well, you got my emails, for God's sakes. You always receive my emails, and I was listening because it was entertaining and radio. And some of the things, again, but we won't go into that. I have to ask you this question, a little bit uncomfortable.
The oldest accent in show business of any kind is, it makes no difference what they say as long as they get the name right.
And frankly, Air America had lousy ratings because they have lousy hosts. And I said that about liberal, quote unquote, liberal radio today. If you put somebody on that's entertaining, you're going to get people to listen no matter what. You know,
their mistake,
big news,
their fundamental
news.
Mistake.
Anyway,
their fundamental mistake is they just find somebody with an opinion and put him on the air. And there are conservative stations that have made that mistake. It is not sufficient to just have an opinion. You've got to be able to present, number one, another facet of yourself besides your political views. And you can't just coast on that alone. You have to bring an element of show business to it or you will not sustain an audience. Rush Limbaugh is not the biggest thing in radio just because of his political views. Rush is a good, knowledgeable broadcaster. He knows how to entertain people.
I was just going to, it's funny you went there because I was just going to ask you, before I ask you the uncomfortable question, let's just make some quick notes. We have about 9 minutes left. Speaking of Limbaugh, has he jumped the shark, so to speak, or do you think he's still got it?
Well, the numbers say he's still got it. The numbers meaning the ratings. I don't hear Rush very much anymore because when he's on, I'm usually doing other things. He occasionally, I understand, has quoted me with attribution, which I appreciate, but the last I heard, his ratings were doing just fine.
Okay.
Perhaps not in every market, but nationwide as a whole, yes.
Mark Levin.
Oh, I love Mark. I don't get to hear his show very much because, frankly, I can't break the old morning man's habit, radio morning man's habit, of early to bed and early to rise. So I don't hear a lot of Mark, but I love the guy. I helped give Mark his start in radio. He hadn't done much radio until I started putting him on as a regular guest. And I guess he finally decided, hey, I can do this, and it's easier than working for a living.
Just a few others real quickly, and then I want to ask you some housekeeping kind of questions with regards to your career here in San Francisco. Do you listen to Hannity or people like that?
I hear bits and pieces of Rush in the car when I'm out running errands, yes. And they're on the radio here in Arizona as well. Of course, they're on the radio everywhere.
When you were working in San Francisco, you used to be followed by Bernie Ward. And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you, and you don't have to comment necessarily on what transpired with Bernie Ward, and he's in prison right now, finishing up a term, and we know the story, and I don't want to really go into detail, but when you heard that story, were you shocked? Just give me your reaction.
Absolutely. Bernie and I had some great times and great fights on the air. We used to call them the Monday night fights. It was a regular thing.
And I used to listen.
Bernie and I think, turned out some very interesting radio. I was shocked. I was stunned. I knew Bernie. I knew his wife. I knew his older children, who weren't very old at the time. And I was absolutely shocked and very, very sorry to hear it. And something else that most surprising people. I like Ray Taliaferro as a person. Ray and I got along great. And some people on both sides of the political aisle are stunned to hear that, because we disagree vehemently on political issues, but we worked together, we got along together just fine. When I first came to San Francisco, the first words I said on KGO were as a guest on Ray Taliaferro's show.
Well, look, if the late Ted Kennedy had a nice relationship with Orrin Hatch, I'm not entirely shocked at all. And for that matter, Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan.
Reagan,
of all
yes.
people. But which brings me to a question. Do you this whole gridlock and what's taking place in Washington and forgetting your politics and putting aside all of that, does it disappoint you or even shock you at more at how bad Bob Schieffer from CBS, Face the
yes.
Nation, said he's never seen it, the acrimony, the polarization of Washington and gridlock personified, that these politicians, they used to go out, even dire Democrats or Republicans, they'd still go to Old Ebbets Grill and have a drink, and they may not have agreed with one another, but they got along, and there was some civility yes. to it. What the hell happened?
Well, for starters, I think Bob Schieffer is a two-faced phony and a lying idiot. And this latest thing,
okay.
he said, anybody who owns a gun is equivalent to a Nazi? Come on. I know the guy is senile and stupid, but how far along is he on that path?
Did he really say that?
Yes. That's his latest summation as a balanced reporter. An unbiased reporter. Anybody who owns a gun is a Nazi. Come on.
Jeez, I didn't hear that. Wow.
Check the wires after you get off.
There goes my Bob Schieffer appearance on this. I think his producer's listening to this program.
Well, I'm not, so you shouldn't be afraid.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to be interviewing you, but anyway, as you were saying, sir.
Yes.
No, I was just asking. I just said that it's Congress. Nobody gets along. We have no legislation. You talk about a do-nothing Congress. The whole process has gone to hell in a handbasket. Are you surprised? Or I guess not.
There is blame to be spread around. But what do you do with the president who says, I'm not going to negotiate on how much money I am going to be allowed to borrow? We're now borrowing money from China to pay the interest to China on our debt to China. This is madness. And then, Republicans want little children to starve as he trots out a bunch of kids to announce a war on gun owners, which he cannot and will not win, no matter what kind of executive orders he signs, or even in the unlikely event that he got Congress to pass all kinds of laws against gun ownership. How would you like to be the guy who has to go door to door, house to house in America, demanding that people give you their guns? I wouldn't want to underwrite a life insurance policy on you, I'll tell you that.
So I imagine you saw that today, and I heard your reaction. Well, look, I don't want to get bogged down in that. I have my own opinion on that. I'm not the greatest NRA guy. I don't have guns, but I respect the fact of your situation and the politics to me on that. It's kind of like abortion. You can go on and on either side
has
their own strong opinions, and it's just
But you're never in this country going to get bad people. You're not going to stop them from getting guns. It ain't possible.
Lee Rogers, it has been a pleasure having you on. Again, I hope this is but one of many, many appearances, and do come back on my program. And again, thank you for appearing. I'm really honored to have you as a guest, even though I agree with nothing that you talk about. Thanks, Lee.
All right. Thank you, Rich. First
and don't be a stranger, for God's sakes.
In almost 3 years, first words on the air. Good to talk to you. Take care of yourself now.
All right, my friend. Lee Rogers, my guest, Jim Weider, coming up in the second hour, third hour, And we'll be giving away Warriors tickets on KOMY 1340 Monterey, Santa Cruz, the world.